Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to MV Talk Radio's broadcast of April 22nd, 2015. My name is Mike McCoy, and Deanna Reeder will be joining us shortly to discuss current events in Moreno Valley, California. You can follow our podcast by going to our internet site at blogtalkradio.com. In the search box, enter MV City Talk and navigate to our show or to any archive show from the past. You are welcome to phone in and be on the show at 946-929-0610. Then follow the instructions given by the automated operator or email Deanna for help. You may email us at any time at stopvotesforsale@gmail.com, and Deanna will do her best to respond to your questions. Thank you all for listening in. Now let's get started. Well, Deanna, good evening, and I hear that we had a study session last night at City Hall. Did you want to cover some of the important items from that agenda?
Well, it was actually a rather short meeting, and there was only two items on the agenda. One was a presentation about the county hospital, you know, here in Moreno Valley on IRIS.
On Mason and Cactus, or is it somewhere else?
No, it's IRIS, and it's not actually on Mason. It's close to Mason.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then I got the wrong building.
Wait a minute. Am I? Oh, you know what? I have the wrong hospital.
You mean the, what used to be called the County General Hospital is now called University something?
You know what? I go down IRIS all the time, so it's actually Kaiser that I'm passing. The county
yep.
one is in Cactus. Oops. My bad.
Okay.
Well, the CEO came, and he's been newly hired, and he came from Loma Linda. And he was very impressive, as a matter of fact, and talked about all kinds of expansion plans, mental health facilities, needing an office building next to the hospital, because he said it's about the only hospital that he's aware of that doesn't have an office building immediately adjacent to the hospital. And they needed to do that, and they had sent it out for bids to developers, and but they need developers that can actually fund the building, because the county doesn't have the money, so it needs to be like a lease from them for the county. Because, of course, it's owned by the county. And about that time, Gaiba said he knew a developer that would be interested. And I'm just guessing Benzivi does have the, you know, even though he says, you know, they're all, you know, he said they were all cash and he wasn't going to have to carry any notes for Skechers. And we know what happened with that. So I don't think he has money. I don't think he submitted a bid. And really, building isn't his normal business anyway. It's buying and selling and getting entitlements is what he does. The actual.
Yeah, he doesn't actually put up brick and mortar.
Yeah. So anyway, I doubt that he submitted one. But you know what? I think I want to find out from the county for sure who actually did. And there really wasn't any action to be taken by the council. It was just getting information.
Yeah.
Now, the second item on the agenda was reforming a Veterans Commission. The city of Moreno Valley originally had a Veterans Commission, but then there wasn't very much interest. You know, there people weren't showing up to the meetings, and so they got rid of it. And lately, people have been talking about it, and so I guess George Price brought it forward.
Mm-hmm.
because someone asked him to. And at last night's meeting, only Malina and Gaiba and LaDonna Jemson and George Price were there. Gutierrez was not there, so there was obviously it was going to be a 2-2 no matter what happened. Because there was a majority to go forward, they don't want this. Malina and Gaiba were pretty adamant that this was just something political, and they were hinting at some particular person's political agenda. This has always been.
Come on, tell me, who was it? Who was that person?
Well, I'm just guessing that they were talking about either Gwendolyn Cross or Basil Kimbrough.
So-called veteran supporters. Yeah.
Right. So, because they've had several events where they've, fed the veterans at the VFW on Alessandro.
Mm-hmm.
And so they seem to be of the mind that, if it's not their political agenda, they weren't interested in anybody else's political agenda.
Even with all the moves by those people you mentioned recently to supposedly align themselves closer with the powers on the council, and then council ditched them. It's like they threw them under the bus. I'm sorry to hear that.
They never mentioned their names, but I definitely got the impression that that's what they were talking about.
That's just our opinion, ladies and gentlemen. It's just, we're doing our podcast.
But you know what? I mean, it was on the agenda. The agenda gets publicized, and none of those people came forward to speak in support of it. So, if you want something to go forward, you come and you speak, you send an email, you do something. So if there was interest in having a Veterans Commission, then last night would have been the time to come forward and tell the city council that you were interested. And the reality is there's not one person that really talked it up.
From the audience?
Maybe Scott Haverin said something good about it, but it was basically the Benzivi cheerleaders who most of them didn't have an opinion except for Chris Baca and Luis Palmares, who were of course opposed.
That's kind of funny because of all the people, I can think of half a dozen folks that I thought were Veterans Committee supporters or supporters of the veterans in the community throughout the year. They're staging events and coordinating events, but they did not show up because maybe they sensed something was fishy here with this proposal.
Who knows? And we do not have an agenda to discuss for next week because it won't be finalized until tomorrow, so that does us no good tonight.
That's true. I hope some good things are on the agenda.
Now, there is an article in the Press Enterprise about the Moreno Valley Unified School District is going to provide information about Common Core.
The council?
Moreno Valley Unified School District, not the city council.
Maybe they were coming to the council to give a presentation or something.
No. They're actually the school district officials are traveling to five locations between 5:30 and 6:30 p.m. where they will answer questions and provide free books for elementary school age students. The buses will be at the parking lot at Sunnymead Ranch Parkway and Old Lake Road, Palm Canyon Church at 255 50 Ironwood Avenue, Mountain View Middle School at 13130 Morrison Street, Celebration Park at 14964 Morgan Avenue, and Cottonwood Golf Center at 13671 Frederick Street. The district recently conducted a telephone town hall where parents could call in and ask questions about Common Core. Yeah, since I have two kids or two grandkids in the district, but I babysit them and I do homework with them 3 days a week. So I'm
good, Grandma.
So Common Core has some very, very good goals. And some of the things they are doing, I am very impressed with, but not everything they are doing. For example, they want to do away with letter grades in elementary school that, you know, the A, B, C, you either pass or you don't pass, which how does that set the stage for the future? I mean, everyone should get rewarded based upon their effort, and if there's no difference between barely passing and an A-plus student in recognition, what would be the point of a student doing the work to get an A-plus? When you get to college, you know, they need grades. You know, they look at your GPA in order to get into colleges. So high schools must have GPAs. It doesn't make sense to me to take that out. And apparently it's in response to Common Core, but I'm not sure if it's the Common Core curriculum that doesn't want to give the ABC grades or if it's the district itself. So those are questions that need to be asked and answered. And there's a few other things about Common Core that I have questions about. We don't have time for me to have all the questions I have here. But
yeah, but are you going to go out on one of those buses and ask questions of people?
You know what? I'm reading this article, and it's not really it's not really clear. I mean, if they're only going
how it's
going
to work, yeah.
If schools in an hour's time, I mean, how much time are they going to have to answer questions?
I know. That's
hours time is
after
all the questions
I'm thinking
I have.
Each board member, maybe each board member is going to go to a district of their own or something and appear
I'm
in five different
ask.
Locations simultaneously.
But for all parents that do have questions or grandparents, you know, also, if you have questions or concerns or just, you know, want to know more about it, I would contact the school district and tell them what you would like answered as they're doing this. And maybe they will actually publicize all these answers at some point.
Okay. Well, thank you for bringing us up to date on regular items on the agenda there at the city and at the school district. And I was wondering if you had any thoughts about or were you shocked or surprised at the departure of our city attorney, Suzanne Brown, was announced in the paper this morning and on the internet yesterday?
I wasn't. you know, it's actually Suzanne Bryant. And you know what? I see that I am.
You're correct. I'm sorry.
You know what? Actually, I wasn't at the. What was it? A few meetings ago, the city council wanted to put hiring and firing decisions on the agenda so that the city council could be the ones that ultimately made the decisions and that they could veto something that the city manager did. And there's also issues with the final EIR of the World Logistics Center coming up. And some of the issues would need consultation with the attorney, as they did during the Skechers process. And if it looks like she isn't going to do everything they wanted, they were going to get rid of her. So, no, I'm not surprised at all.
I'm not either. You know, Deanna, I believe she was doing her job as best she could and trying to ride the fence between pleasing the counsel, who favors one particular developer, of course. And apparently she had drew a line and said, no, I don't advise you doing this in regard to having oversight over all the city hiring and firing. And she said that. I could tell by the way they looked at the council meeting and at each other and everything that that was the end of her career with the city. And what upsets me a little bit is the council wants all this power over employees and everything, and they say they're doing it for the good of the city and for transparency to the council and things like that. But yet this departure of the city attorney is all being shrouded by agreements in the lawsuits and the termination and everything. And we don't know the real reason. No one's going to say right away, of course. And they're not going to criticize each other, it was said in the paper, which is fine for, you know, smooth transition and everything. And that bothers me, too. And Deanna, it also bothers me that as she was let go, over in Beaumont, they're having trouble with hiring, they're having trouble with the DA's office and with the FBI for hiring certain contractors and outside companies to do their city's business. And here today, I read in this article, quote me if I'm wrong or tell me if I'm wrong, that they have hired a temporary Jenkins and Hodgin attorney at a fairly good rate for sitting there, you know, and maybe the council should take a look over at Beaumont, what's going on with these contract personnel. I know it takes a long time to get someone to be a city attorney, but I have a feeling they're not going to get too many people looking for a permanent job. That's just my opinion, folks. Yeah?
Well, you know what? Actually, a really good attorney is probably going to make $500,000 to $1 million a year in private practice. So if you're taking a job for $100,000, it's for one of a couple of reasons. One, you're too lazy to do the work that you would need to do in private practice. You don't want to put in the hours that would take to make the money that you could make. Or you couldn't make it in private practice if you wanted to. So these are the kind of people that are taking, city attorney jobs. So I'm sorry, I just don't see the people taking, you know, the city attorney jobs being the top of the line. There's still people that can't make it in private practice. That's why they're working for a city.
And we have a lot of lawyers out there, too.
They would be making, two, three, four, five times as much in private practice, at least. And if you're a really good one, more than that, even. So
they call it billable.
So, you know what? I the number of people lining up to make 200,000 that aren't making it in private practice, you're going to have a line out the door. So there'd be plenty of people to do it. They are not going to be the caliber of people that need to be there. They are obviously nobody that has any integrity is going to bother applying for the position because they had any integrity. We're going to hire them, and they already know that. So, no, we're not going to get a top of the line. We're going to get more guests. But,
did a really good job at that article, too, by the way. I think Imran Ghori did a good job, covered back to history and everything, back all the way to Hansen and stuff.
Maybe I didn't read the whole article, the second one. I know there's two different articles.
Was not as detailed as the second one.
Well, see, the first one, they didn't give any information. All they did at the meeting was say that they let her go, and that was the first that they had told anyone. Because they had that special closed session earlier in the day.
That's right. I forgot. And Deanna, did you have any ideas on whether they will pick a person that has high moral integrity or very close to a certain developer?
You know, it's just like Ben Zeevy. He doesn't pick the top of the line. He scrapes the bottom of the barrel, which is why.
Okay.
I mean, come on. This is his pick. Coe was his pick. Baca was his pick. So, no, he does not pick those with a lot of integrity and moral fiber. Those are not the kind of people that he picks.
That's for sure. Speaking of logistics, I heard that there is a logistics conference tomorrow in Ontario somewhere, and it's a $150 fee, which I would be glad to pay because I don't want any developer compromising my beliefs by saying, oh, Mike, I'll pick up free lunch and all that. But it's going to be probably a staged event that is going to say how wonderful the logistics industry it means for the Inland Empire. And you brought up the fact that there was another article in the LA Times about a study of the logistics industry, and I did see that article, and I read that, and I felt very sad because it sounded like an awful existence. We're going back to the industrial era where people worked in sweatshops. They didn't have job security or not too many benefits, and getting a raise to $13 an hour was all a lifetime dream. What did you think of that article?
Well, you know what? I was actually pretty impressed with the article. It wasn't a super long article, but it just really dug in at the bare issues. And that is, you know, the numbers that they're throwing around for logistics are not accurate because the people that are working in logistics, most of them are temporary workers, and temporary workers are not calculated. So when they tell you how many logistic jobs and how much they're paying, all these temporary workers, they don't get counted in with that. And that's one of the reasons that the numbers look so high is because all these temporary people that are making the, you know, 10 and 12 bucks an hour do not get counted. So there is very skewed look at what it's actually going to bring. So that article brings that out very well.
You know, you're right, it did. It was a good article, and you're right, it was short, and it was very interesting. It didn't cover a lot of things we know about because we're so involved in investigating our own logistics controversies out here in the Moreno Valley. But I did want to take a moment, if I have your permission, to discuss a little business park near Edgemont.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, about 2 weeks ago, I went down to the old Highway 215 in the corner of Bay Avenue down near Alessandro and across the old right-of-way of the old railroad track, actually in Riverside City, is a very small, little unpretentious business park, maybe 2 acres, called, I think it was called Cottonwood Center or something like that. And I drove through there and looked around and talked to some people. It is jam-packed. It is so jam-packed with cars, and the suites have filled up. Customers are out. They're looking for, you know, different types of work that are done in the business park. And so in only what took about maybe 6 months to a year, that little project filled up and is employing a lot more people, tons more people per square foot than any logistics that's on the horizon for Moreno Valley. And I just wanted to point out, once again, as I've said at the council and quoted many examples, that the business park and other similar mixed uses are going to bring a lot more jobs and better jobs to Moreno Valley. It's too bad we missed out on these guys because they're actually in Riverside, but they're right across the road from Edgemont. Very interesting. I hope you all will take a look at that place over there, Bay and Old 215.
Well, yeah, and basically that is the problems with these logistics numbers that Ben Zeevy likes to give because, John Husing keeps giving these averages and median pay, but that's only the median pay of the people that are counted that are in permanent positions. All those temp workers, which actually make up the majority, are not
90%
counted.
Probably.
So their pay is not factored in with those statistics that he gives. And the same thing with Ben Zeevy. They're giving you statistics that they know are not accurate because they do not reflect the temporary workers. You know, and this is one of those things, you know, when they closed the the warehouses that Skechers had in Ontario and moved them here. and they only gave 400 notices. So they're using this number 600 to say that's how many people came here. But they only have to give notices to permanent people. They don't have to give notices to the temp workers. So none of those temp workers got a notice. They just didn't get to come back to work. And
yeah,
so
they don't actually work for Skechers. They work for a
number
contractor.
Number is wrong. It's always been wrong. I don't know why the Press Enterprise continues to use it when it is absolutely and completely wrong. And that's one of the reasons why Benzivi's numbers are BS. They've been that way from the beginning.
As I demonstrated, that guy that was in the insurance industry, they told me that late last year, the full-time employment equivalent number of employees working at Skechers was 210.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to know because he was going to bid on their commercial insurance for the building.
I said 300 is the most that's working there. I mean, because that's at full capacity, 300. And I said I never thought it's been at full capacity from the time that building went there. So, yep.
Well, what happened in Beaumont today?
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? Marina Valley has some company. There was FBI raids in Beaumont, they took...
Yeah, it was deja vu all over again, wasn't it?
let's see if the FBI and the DA can do something with charges there, because they sure in the heck haven't done much with the charges here.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, you know, they do more than just investigate things. They actually bring charges so that it stops people from repeating this in the future, because that is, you know, what we really need is the corruption to go away. And until they bring charges, the corruption's never going to go away. I wouldn't be surprised that this isn't actually repeated in most of the cities in this county out here.
I'm so sad to hear that, but you're probably right.
Wouldn't surprise me a bit.
And they did close the city hall, and it said on the news, on the media, that 500 boxes of files and several computer towers and everything were carried off by the investigating agencies. And so they're without a government right now, and I hope they get together and get that corrected. And most of the charges, according to the media, were related to the misuse, perhaps, of contractors to do the job that city employees would normally do. And also someone brought up the fact that the Chamber of Commerce has not paid their utility bills for many years, and the bill has added up to some huge number, like $30,000 is their water bill or something like that. And it was, I don't know, they'll probably claim nonprofit or agency gift or something. But that's awful strange that that chamber would get a free rent.
You know what? Chummy, I guess. When I read it, it said no charges had been
yes, that's true.
Brought forth. It was just an investigation at this point. Okay, we don't have much more time, so tomorrow night there is a Planning Commission meeting at 7 o'clock. And, again, tomorrow is the day the school district answers questions about Common Core. RCTC has a meeting at 1:30 on Monday the 27th. There is a regular city council meeting on the 20th. I don't have a agenda for. There's
a podcast on April 29th done by Deanna and Mike.
Yeah, there's going to be a
hopefully
podcast next week, too. Thank you, Mike. I think that is about it for today. I think we covered quite a bit.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Thank you. We appreciate it. And we will be here next week and see how things go. And
good night,
Marino
Valley.
Yeah, we might have some more news on Beaumont, maybe. Or they could be 2 years later and sitting just like Marina Valley.
Yeah, we'll see.
And good night, Marina Valley. and thank you for listening.